word to our hearts.
Well, we do thank the Reverend Ian again for the warm words of welcome this evening. We're glad to be back again this Wednesday night at this conference to open up God's word before you this evening. We do thank you for your attendance night by night, and indeed for your prayers as well, for the meetings, and for the preaching of God's truth. And we trust that tonight and the remaining nights that we would continue to know the presence of the Lord and the help of God as we meet around his precious truth. We're turning to Psalm 32 this evening. Psalm 32, we'll take time to read down through the entirety of this psalm. Tonight we're wanting to look at the subject of encouragement for the seeker. And by this, we mean those who are really seeking the will of God for their lives. As God's people, we should all desire to be seeking the will of God. We should all have that desire and that want to be found in the center of God's will, whatever that might be, whatever that might have us doing, and wherever that might have us to be located. And we all need to be seeking the will of God for our lives. And maybe you're here this evening, and maybe perhaps in your Christian walk, in your walk with Christ, you're discouraged because maybe you desire to be in God's will, you desire to be following what God would have you to do, and yet maybe for one reason or another tonight you're unsure as to God's will. You don't know what direction to take. You're not sure where the Lord would have you to be. And I trust tonight as we look at this portion of Scripture that you will be encouraged, that you will see that there is that assurance and that promise from the Lord that when we seek him, he will direct us and he will guide us and he will make the path before us known. Psalm 32, commencing at the opening verse of this psalm. Psalm 32 and the verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Amen. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening. Just still our hearts for a brief moment as we come into the Lord's presence, as we meet around his word. We don't want to hear the word of man. We want to hear the Lord speaking to us. We find our encouragement not in the notions or ideas of men, but in the word of God, and we need the Spirit to come and to speak to us tonight. And you pray that the Lord would speak to your heart and encourage you tonight through his precious truth. Let us pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed rejoice that we are found in thy presence this evening. We thank thee that once again this week we are gathered around thy precious word. And Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that we have it tonight in our own mother tongue. We thank thee that although many have tried to destroy it, that yet thou hast preserved it. And Father, we rejoice that thy word is forever sure. It is forever settled in heaven. And Father, we rejoice tonight that we can, by the help of the Spirit of the Lord, delve in to the great truth that is contained within thy word. We thank thee, O God, that we can plunge into the depths of this treasure chest that contains that not only contains thy word, but is thy word. We thank thee, O God, that on every page there is that encouragement, on every page there is that challenge, that direction for thy people. And Father, we pray tonight as we think about our position as thy people, as we think about seeking out thy will and knowing where thou would have us to be, we pray, O God, tonight that thou would be pleased to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. Take thy word, we pray, and by thy Holy Spirit send it forth in power. Write it upon every heart. Bless each one that is gathered here, those that are watching online. Father, we pray, whatever the circumstances, that you would make thy word applicable to each and every heart this evening, we ask. Give help in the expounding of thy truth, we pray. We look to thee. We know that thou art our help. And Father, we pray that you will presence thyself here tonight. Send thy spirit and give help in the preaching and the proclamation of thy word. And may everything that is said and everything that is done bring honor and glory to thy name. For it's in Christ's worthy and precious name we ask. Amen. The Christian path is one that contains so many junctions and crossroads. Of course, whether we're saved or not, there are those times in our lives when decisions have to be made, when we come to those junctures. And the same is true, of course, in the life of the child of God. And we mean that in the sense that there are different points in our lives when we need to take stock and we need to decide what direction we are to go. And whilst to the unsaved this evening, to those in the world, to those that have no thought of Christ, those that have no thought of the will and the plan and the purpose of God for them, they, of course, make those choices so flippantly. They do what they want, when they want. They are motivated by their feelings, by their own notions, by their own desires. They will go where they want to go. They will do what they want to do. They will choose the path that they believe is going to bring them the most happiness, that's going to bring them the most success. And really, it doesn't matter what anyone else around them thinks. It doesn't matter what damage they cause along the way. As long as they are seeking to fulfill their desires, that is really all their concern and all their focus. However, as the people of God, we simply cannot take such an attitude. When we are saved, when we're born again of the Spirit of the Lord, when we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we have trusted him not only for our salvation, but we've entrusted him for our entire journey, our entire pilgrimage here in this scene of time. We have surrendered our hearts to Christ. We have surrendered our lives to his will and to his plan and to his purpose. We vowed to follow our Lord and Savior, to do his blessed will. Think of how we have record in Scripture of Christ calling his disciples, and that call was to follow me. And we have record of the disciples maybe in the midst of fishing, in the midst of their livelihoods, and they simply dropped everything. And they set their face upon Jesus Christ, and they got up and they followed him. They sought the will of God for their lives. And as God's people, we ought to do the same. When decisions are to be made, when we come to those crossroads in our life, when there's a choice to be made, when whatever that choice might be, it's not just as straightforward as following our heart and following our emotions. We can't just take the attitude that we'll do what we want and we'll do what feels right. We cannot depend upon our emotions. We cannot depend upon our feelings. We are followers of Christ. We have a duty to follow him. And we must be aware and sure that we're in the center of God's will for our lives. Think about the illustration in Scripture that is given of the child of God. We're sheep, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. We take that in to the farming realm. If that sheep does not follow the shepherd, it will lead itself into danger and into harm. And the same is true for the child of God. We should desire to be nowhere else than in the center of God's will, for that is the best place that we can be. The very best that the child of God can have is being found in the very heart of the plan and the purpose of our Lord and Savior. Now, some decisions we have in life might seem small and insignificant. Others might be massive decisions. Some might be mundane. Some might be a little more exciting. But in all things, in every aspect of our lives, as we daily live for Jesus Christ, we ought to be seeking out the will and the plan and the purpose of God. We ought always to be in the will of God for us all individually. And that's something we should all be living by, but so often we must confess we can fail in that regard. We can be led by our heart and our emotions. We can take certain paths and roads because it's our desire and because maybe we seek out that building up of our own kingdom, and maybe at times we fail to consult the Lord and we fail to be found in the will of God. We go through life not worrying about God's plan and purpose, and yet at every juncture of our life and every moment and every passing day, we're to stop and to evaluate and to ask, am I in the center of the Lord's will? Am I where God would have me to be? Am I doing what God would have me to do? If we are not in the center of God's will not be walking with Christ as we ought to be walking. If we are not where God wants us to be, if we are not doing what God would have us to do, we're not walking as we ought to be walking with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this evening, dear child of God, and you need guidance from God. You need his leading. And you need his direction. And yes, your desire is to be found in the will of God. Your heart desires to be where God would have you to be. And yet maybe tonight you're discouraged. Maybe you wonder, well, how can I know the will of God for my life? How can I be sure that I am following Christ as I ought to follow Christ? Well, we want to turn to the answer that is found here in Psalm 32, and particularly the verse number 8. This evening, which we will take as our text, and the psalmist records here this instruction, this encouragement, and this promise from the Lord. It says there, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. What a great encouragement in these words for those seeking the will of God, for those desiring to be where God would have us to be. What an encouragement we have here this evening. How can we know? How can we discern God's will for our life? Notice firstly here, there must be a devoting. There must be a devoting or a devotion. Verse number 8, there the opening words say, I will instruct thee. God has promised to instruct his people. God has promised to be our guide. God has promised to lead us in the paths of righteousness. God has promised to shine that light on the road that is before us. He has promised to reveal his will unto his people. But in order to be instructed, there is something that we have to do. There's a responsibility here for us. We must devote ourselves to be instructed. We must dedicate ourselves to be seeking out the will of God for our life. Think back to your days at school or university or some other form of education. There were teachers that were placed there to instruct and to teach. There were classes that were planned and organized in which we could learn and increase in knowledge, but that instruction demanded something of us in order to gain knowledge, in order to be taught, in order to receive that instruction and to grow in our knowledge and wisdom. We had to devote ourselves to that education. Now, some maybe did that better than others did. Some were more devoted in learning and in school and in university than others. But what did it involve? Well, it involved effort in showing up to classes. It involved staying awake in classes, something maybe that was more difficult in some classes than others. It involved listening. It involved that work ethic. It involved work at home and reading and studying. It involved a learning. There was an application to the study. There was an effort that had to be made. There was work, there was devotion, there was time, there was toil, there was struggle, there was effort that had to be put in. There were those before us with great wisdom, those before us that had great knowledge that were ready and willing to teach us and to instruct us. But unless we put in the effort, unless we were devoted to such instruction, unless we applied ourselves to learn, well, then it would be of very little use. So same now, we've left our days of education behind. Maybe in your job, you have to learn new skills. Maybe new computers to get used to, maybe new techniques and the ways of doing things, and there must be that devotion to learning. Maybe even if you have a hobby, whatever it might be, maybe a sport, maybe something mechanical, maybe baking or cooking, in order to increase skill, in order to build upon our knowledge and expertise, there has to be a devoting, there has to be time spent, there has to be an effort that is put in. And dear child of God, if these things are true of temporal things, normal things, things that are physical and of this world, it is infinitely more true and relevant when it comes to spiritual matters. If we want to know the will of God, if we want to be guided and directed by God in our lives, yes, there's this wonderful promise here that God will instruct us and teach us in the way that we are to go, but there's a responsibility on our part. We need to devote ourselves to the Lord. We need to be seeking His will. We need to be putting in the time and the work and the dedication, searching out God's plan for our lives. There's no point in us complaining that we don't know the way of God, that we don't know God's will for our life, if we haven't searched out God's will, if we haven't devoted ourselves to knowing what God's plan for us is. How do we do that? Well, Scripture is very clear time and time and time again that it is through His precious Word. This is how God guides. This is how God directs. This is how God speaks to His people today. Think of those well-known words in Proverbs 3 and the verses 5 to 6, speaking of this very same subject. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And in the context of that verse, the very opening verse of that chapter says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." It's being found in the Word of God, being found in God's law, in God's statutes. That's how we're going to know the will of God for our lives. If we want to know God's direction, if we want to know His purpose, we need to be men and women of the book. If we want to know what direction to go, if we want to know where the Lord would have us to be, what decision to make, how the Lord would have us to be serving Him and living for Him, we need to turn to Scripture. Oh yes, God can direct us in circumstances. He can open doors, He can close doors, He can lay burdens upon our hearts, but primarily God will direct through His Word. Primarily, God will use the Scriptures of truth. Primarily, God will use this Scripture that He has given to us, this revelation of Himself, this revelation of His will. This is how God will direct and guide His people. Hebrews 2 and the verse 1 says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We're to know God's Word. And I suggest to you this evening that the reason why there are periods in our lives where perhaps we're unsure of the will of God, maybe those times where we are confused, maybe the path seems to be darker than at other times, we're not sure where God would have us to be, is because perhaps we've neglected the Word of God. Maybe we're not spending the time in God's truth as we ought to. The Word of God is our rule of faith and practice. It's how God communicates to us. It's how He guides us and directs us. It's how He shows us the way. And therefore, if we're neglecting the Word of God, if we're not learning it, if we're not meditating upon it, if we're not studying it, if we're not sitting under the faithful preaching of it, then we're not to be surprised if we don't know direction in our lives, if we don't know where God would have us to be. Can we really be shocked if we're not studying God's truth that we don't know what God would have us to do? Oh, we're to devote ourselves to the Word of God. We have a responsibility. Dear child of God, if you want to be guided by the Lord, and you ought to be as a follower of Jesus Christ, then you must spend time in God's truth, meditating upon it, studying it, prayerfully considering it, meditating upon it whilst asking God to speak to you through it, to guide you and to direct you. You must be devoted to God's truth, searching out the will of God for your life, prayerfully thinking about what Scripture has to say to you, whether it's in the Lord's house under the preaching or in your own quiet time at home. Make much of the Word of God. Give much time in your day to the study of God's precious truth. Don't neglect the reading and the meditating upon God's holy word. That's how God is going to speak. That's how God is going to make his will clear for your life. The problem is never with God, but with us and our lack of devotion. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Thy word is a lamp and a light. Psalm 119, verse 105. God does give his people direction. God does lead and guide, but we must devote ourselves to the study of his word. We must spend time in scripture. And dear child of God, then the question must be asked to your own hearts. Are we those who study God's truth? Are we spending much time in God's word? Are we seeking out the will of God for our lives? Are we devoted to know where God would have us to be and what God would have us to do? Warren Wiersbe said that the will of God is revealed in the word of God. And the only way to know his will is to study his word and obey it. It seems so simple, and it is. How can we know God's direction? By devoting ourselves to searching out God's will through his precious truth. There's a devoting, secondly, here tonight, there's a directing. Look again at our text, Psalm 32 in the verse 8. It says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." When we spend that time in devotion, when we prayerfully consider God's word, when we have that desire and that heart for God to show us the way that we are to go, then there's the promise here that God will direct our paths. God will show us the way. God will guide us and direct us. What an encouragement that is this evening. Time spent in God's word is not time in vain. Time spent daily searching out the scriptures, seeking what God would have to say to us, that's not a fruitless exercise. Oh, the world might look upon us and laugh. The world might question why we would have such a week of meetings as this, or why we come to the house of the Lord on the Lord's day, or why we read God's word at home, because to them it seems like foolishness. To them it seems like a waste of time, yet as the people of God, we know that it is not a fruitless exercise. It's not a vain thing to spend time in the word of God, because here we learn that God will instruct us and teach us in the way that we shall go. He will guide us with his eye. The word teach there in the original means to point out. It has the idea of pointing the finger. It is speaking clearly about direction and guidance. If we were asking for directions somewhere, people would often point out the way. Now in this day age, I suppose, with phones and sat-navs and whatever else, you don't really ask for directions anymore. But if you were, they will direct us, yes, verbally, but often they will use their hands. They will point out the landmark. They will raise their hand and point the finger so that we are left in no uncertain terms as to the direction that we are to go. And that is really the idea here, that God will guide us so clearly, that he will direct us so plainly, that we will be left with no uncertainty, with no doubt as to where God would have us to go, the direction that he would have us to take. The word guide there means to purpose or to give counsel. Again, it's speaking about a very plain direction in the will and in the purpose and in the plan of God. And that's what God does with his people when they devote themselves to him. He will teach us. He will direct us in the way that we are to go. He will guide us in the specific plan and purpose and will that he has for our lives. And he will make it clear and he will make it plain. God, through his Spirit, leads us and guides us and directs us in the way that we are to walk. That's the promise when we devote ourselves to him. I love the words of Isaiah 30. The verse 21 says there, "This is the way, walk ye in it." How clear. Again, it's that idea of pointing out the way, of guiding and directing. The assurance of a clear leading off the Lord. And dear child of God, God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God of chaos. He's not a God who has left us in this chaotic, fallen, confusing world to find our way about, to stumble about in the dark without any direction or without any plan or without any guide, just hoping that we've chosen the right way. That's not how our God works, and yet so often we must confess That's our experience because we've taken our eyes off God and we do stumble along. And so often we're walking in darkness because we've not devoted ourselves to God's word. We don't know what way to turn. We don't know where God would have us to be, but God does not want that to be our experience. God does not want that to characterize the life of his children. He is willing, he is ready, he is waiting to give his people clear direction and guidance. If we but devote ourselves to him, there's this wonderful promise, I will teach thee the way that thou art to go. Verse 9 tells us that we're not to be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God doesn't want us to have no understanding. God doesn't want us to be confused and lost in this world. God wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. And when we meditate upon the word of God, when we study it, the answer will come, because there's this wonderful assurance, this promise here that God will teach us the way that we are to go. He will guide us with his eye. God will reveal his will to you. He will show you what to do in his time and according to his purpose and his plan. What a wonderful promise that is. The idea there too of the fact that God will guide us with his eye means that his eye is upon us. He knows the path that we are to take. What a comfort and what an encouragement that brings the people of God. When the Lord started challenging me before I went into the ministry about doing something with my life for him, I didn't know what it was. I just, through scripture and through a burden that the Lord had given me, felt that it was some sort of full-time service, but I spent much time reading God's word and seeking the Lord's face for him to guide and direct. And it got to the point where every time I opened up God's word, there was leading from him about entering into the ministry. And that's how God works. He directs through his word. He makes it clear. He makes it plain so that we can do nothing but surrender to his will. He makes it so clear for us when we devote ourselves to him. That's the experience that every child of God ought to have. That's the promise God has given to you tonight, dear child of God. If you but devote yourself to the study of scripture, God will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou art to go. There's a devoting, there's a directing. Thirdly, here there's a duty. A duty. Verse 8, again, our text tonight says there, the way which thou shalt go. Psalmist speaks here of a duty. When God reveals his will to us through his word, we must do that will. There's a duty that we are to perform. We are to do as God has told us to do. That applies in all aspects of our life in a general way, in a wide sense, but also in the specifics, also in the details, whether it is in temporal things or whether it's in his work and his service or whether it's to do with spiritual things, we have a duty to do the will of God for our lives. Think of those three words that are used here in this promise and this command in verse 8. It speaks there, which thou shalt go, four words, or three words, thou shalt go. Thou shalt go. Here's a command. How powerful, how challenging to our hearts this evening. God has a plan for you. God has a will and a purpose for your life. And when you search it out, and when you devote yourself to scripture, God will reveal that plan to you. And when he does, thou shalt go. You must go. You must perform it. There's a duty that we're to be in obedience to the word of God. Think again of Proverbs 3 and the verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. We're to be walking in the path that God directs us to walk. One commentator has said that this denotes a cordial affection for the commandments and ordinances of Christ, a hearty attention and obedience to them, and a constant and cheerful observance of them flowing from our love and gratitude to him. Not only are we to know God's will, but we're to do God's will. Scripture tells us that we're not only to be hearers of God's word, but doers also. John 14 in the verse 15 records the words of Christ. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. An evidence that we're in The will of God is that we're performing our duty to do as God would have us to do, an evidence that we love Christ, an evidence that we're willing to serve the Lord as he has called us to do, is seen in the fact that we're following God's precious truth, that we're living in obedience to his word, that we're found in the very center of obedience to his commandments and his will. Not only are we to devote ourselves to searching and learning God's will for our lives, but we're to live by it. We're to live it out in faith as we seek to serve the Lord. You'll be familiar, I'm sure, with the account given to us in Scripture of Jonah. And Jonah's a wonderful study to take the time to go through that short book. But of course, we learn there that God made his will very clear and known to his servant Jonah. We have again that reminder that God points the way. He makes it clear. He makes it plain. And he made his will known to Jonah. He told him to arise and to go to Nineveh. God gave him direction. God revealed his plan and his purpose to his servant. But what happened, Jonah? He refused to heed the word of God. He didn't pay attention to the direction that God was given. And Jonah, he went and did his own thing. He disobeyed the word of God, and it ended in near shipwreck for Jonah. Not only him, but those in the boat with him as he fled to Tarshish. He ended up being thrown overboard, swallowed by the whale in that damp, dark stomach. For 3 days and three nights, he ended up not knowing where he was, lost, cut off in many ways from God, in darkness, because he disobeyed God's direction. And by God's grace and mercy, God afforded him another opportunity. But the point is clear. If we want to be in the will of God, if we want to be heading the right direction in God's plan for us, if we want to know the blessing of serving the Lord as we ought to serve him, then we need to be heeding God's word. We need to be following his direction. We cannot be surprised when we make shipwreck in our lives. We cannot be surprised when we end up lost and in darkness, not knowing what direction we're meant to go, if we've refused to heed and obey the word of truth. I wonder this evening, dear child of God, how is it for you? Is it the case that you're confused tonight as to the will of God for your life, or God would have you to be? What he would have you to do? Maybe it is because you haven't heeded his word. You're not following the commandments of Scripture. You haven't devoted yourself to studying the truth that is contained within the word of God. Because here the promise is that if we devote ourselves to the Lord, that he will instruct us, he will teach us. And when that instruction comes, we're to go and we're to do it. We're to follow the plan that God has for us. And dear child of God, when God reveals his will to you, which he will do if you search it out, then make sure that you're in obedience to it. Make sure that you follow your duty and step out in faith, following the plan and the purpose of God. There's a devoting, a directing, a duty. And finally here, there's a depending. A depending. Look at how we're told we will be guided there. It says, I will guide thee with mine eye. We're not to be guided by the notions of men. We're not to be guided by philosophy. We're not to be guided by our own thoughts and hearts and desires. How often those things fail us. How often those things, rather than giving direction and giving clarity, how often those things muddy the waters. They bring confusion. They bring chaos. They bring shipwreck in our lives. But this guidance, this direction that the Lord has promised to us, it is not the guidance and direction of man. It is not the guidance and direction of institutions, but it is a guidance that we receive by the eye of God himself. It is his direction. It is his plan. It is his purpose. And therefore, it's a direction that we can depend upon. Oh, we might not always understand it. We might not always in our own hearts agree in the sense that maybe that's not the way that we would have done things, but we can be sure and certain that God's direction is perfect. We are guided by the eye of God. God's path is always the right path. God's direction is always the right direction. God will never lead us astray. God will never lead us down the wrong path, but God will always guide us in the way that he would have us to go. It is the best direction that we can receive. Why? Because it is the direction of God who is perfect. the direction of God, who is pure, who is holy, who is mighty, who is sovereign, who has an infinite knowledge of all things. Think of that verse we referred to last night in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. God's way is perfect. God's plan for you, dear child of God, is a perfect plan. It's a holy plan. It's a righteous plan, because God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And dear child of God, tonight we don't want to go by our own plan. We don't want to be guided by our own notions and ideas and blessings and ideas and desires, because they will lead us astray. They will lead us into chaos and confusion. But we come to the guidance of God, which is altogether different. Something we can depend upon, for it is perfect. It is higher than our ways. Oh, that we would be guided by the eye of God. What a wonderful promise. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What better direction is there? What better path is there for us as the people of God to take in this fallen, sinful world, a world of chaos and confusion, a world where we're confronted with so many questions and decisions? What better way can we go than by that way which God directs with his eye? And oh, may we be guided by the eye of God. Are you uncertain this evening, dear child of God? Are you lacking direction? You sit in here in the meeting tonight and you don't know what God's will is for your life. You don't know where God would have you to be. You don't know what God would have you to do. You're confused. Seek out God's will for your life. Devote yourself to his word. Study scripture. Meditate upon it. Sit under the preaching of God's word. Spend time in the scripture. Spend time praying unto God, seeking out his will. For here is a wonderful promise if you do. Here's a wonderful encouragement for those that are seeking God's will. He will teach thee and instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go. He will make his will clear and plain unto you. You will receive that guidance from God, which you can depend upon with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your life. God doesn't want his people to be wandering around aimlessly. He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to not know what way we are to go. God is willing. He's ready. He's waiting to direct his people, as he has done in the past. He is ready and waiting to do tonight and in the days that lie ahead. Devote yourself to God. And as you seek out his will, take this wonderful encouragement. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. May all of us, as the people of God, know the direction of God in our lives. May we know where God would have us to be. And may we fulfill our duty. May we be found in response to God's will, in obedience to his truth, walking the way that God would have us to walk. We trust the Lord would write his word upon our hearts this evening and apply them to all of our lives. Call upon your minister now to close, please.
I do thank the Lord's servant again for bringing the word to our hearts, how vital it is that we know that we're walking in the will and plan of God for our lives. We need to hear that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we're rejoicing tonight that as for God, his way is perfect. And sometimes we don't understand the ways that God brings us, but nevertheless we do rejoice that God is able to lead us into the best way and guide us along the pathway of life. And may we seek with all our hearts that will and purpose and plan of God. We're going to sing the hymn 394. In closing, we'll sing a few verses of the hymn. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. We'll sing the first two verses of the hymn and we'll stand as we sing. 394, please. Loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for the peace and the joy that there is in following Thee, in walking in Thy paths, in being in the center of God's will. And our Father, we pray that Thou wouldst enable us to be right in the center of Thy will. How sometimes we can be wayward, we can get ourselves into the bypaths of life. But, O God, we pray that we might be those who are right in the center of where God wants us to be in doing what God wants us to do. Bless us now, we pray. We'd ask Thee that Thy grace and mercy would be our portion throughout these incoming days as we separate one from another. And we pray that Thy power might be given to us and that Thy word would linger in our hearts. Bless us now, part us in Thy fear and with Thy blessing, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.